So would you come with me to Sister Mary's funeral? Sister Mary, who is 96 years old, has just passed away, and they are holding her memorial service. The pastor stands beside the casket. And here are the words which he speaks to us, perhaps not our pastor, but perhaps other pastors would speak words like this in an attempt to bring comfort to the family and to the loved ones and the friends of Sister Mary. Now fear not, and grieve not as those who have no hope. Because Sister Mary is no longer here. Sister Mary is no longer with us. For this tomb, this shell in which she resided for 96 years, this tomb of her body, this shell of her body that she inhabited, she has now escaped from. She has now been set free from it. She has left this tomb, this dungeon behind. She has been removed of her earth suit. And she has now gone to be in the skies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not, and mourn not as those who have no hope. For Sister Mary is no longer here, and she has escaped her tomb and has flown into the sky. Very, very popular evangelical funeral sermon. Oh, so popular. It just doesn't have anything to do with Christianity.
Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
Well, Jeff, I thought that when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I thought that when I die, I escape from my body, because I'm not my body. I'm my soul. I'm my spirit. And death is my escape. Death is like an M&M getting rid of its candy coating. Death is my being released from my body, because my body, of course, is the source of all my problems. Death is escape from flesh and bone, blood and skin, kidneys and toenails. Death is escape from the body. Very popular comments. They just don't have anything whatsoever to do with Christianity. Question we're answering this week is this question: what in the heck happens when I die? And more than that, what in the heck is my ultimate hope? What in the heck happens when I die, and what in the heck is my ultimate hope? I tell you right now, your ultimate hope is not being released from your body so you can go to heaven to be with Jesus. I can't believe I just said that. But let me say it again. Your ultimate hope is not being set free from your body so you can go to heaven to be with Jesus. What the heck happens to you when you die as a Christian? And what the heck is your ultimate hope? Come with me to Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. But what does it matter, verse 18? What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul's in prison. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, I want you to see that Paul's greatest hope is that Christ will be exalted in his body. The good old B-O-D-Y. The Christ will be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in this body. Notice that Paul is in prison and he is experiencing trial upon trial, physical trial upon physical trial. The painful tortures and the painful persecutions that he have endured have brought him close to death several times, and he doesn't know how many more persecutions he has in him before he dies. Now, he has faith that if it's God's will, Christ will deliver him from these bodily trials, from these physical persecutions. But he also realizes that the time of Christ's deliverance from these things may be coming to an end. By the way, that's the way it is with all of us. You may have had a disease last year from which the Lord healed you and from which you suffer no longer. You may have had an illness or a physical malady earlier last spring from which the Lord healed you. The Lord may have been doing this to you over the last 15 or 20 years. You'll get this illness and the Lord delivers you from it. You have that accident and the Lord heals you from it. But you see, Paul realizes that there is an accident or there is an illness from which the Lord will not deliver you. Either the Lord Jesus will come, or there will be an illness or an accident from which the Lord will not deliver us. Y'all understand this? That there comes a time in which the Lord stops delivering you and allows death to overcome you. There will be that moment for all of us, or for some of us, the Lord will return before that moment. And Paul understands this. And in faith, he believes, did you catch it? In faith, he believes that when that moment comes, when the hand of God's deliverance from these earthly trials and these earthly persecutions is removed, when God no longer keeps Paul from dying from these earthly persecutions, he has the faith and the confidence that he will depart and be with Christ. This is the faith of Christianity. This is the teaching of the Bible, that when a Christian dies, their spirit, their immaterial part, some people call it the spirit, other people call it the soul, some people see spirit and soul as interchangeable, but it is that immaterial part of us. That part immediately, in a blessed state of consciousness, is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately upon death, there is the blessed consciousness of us in our disembodied spirits being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a state which Paul refers to as, did you catch it? Better by far. Better by far. And it is a state which is removed from the body. So there is a blessed state of consciousness with Christ immediately upon death, which is better by far than being associated with this mortal body, which can be beaten by the centurions, which can be starved by the prison guards, which can be crucified on a cross or beheaded in some meadow outside the walls of the city of Rome. It is better by far to be in a disembodied, conscious existence in the presence of Christ in our spirits than to be associated with a mortal, dying, corruptible, pain-tortured set of flesh and bones. But this has given some people, and it has given many pastors, sermons which just don't have a thing in this world to do with Christianity. It has sold books that have raked in millions for their authors, but which just don't have a thing to do with the biblical teaching. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we move to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is just a couple of books before Philippians, you'll find that the language of chapter 5 in some places sounds very much like the teaching and the writing and the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1. Notice that the context is extremely similar. The end of chapter 4 has Paul telling us about his woes. Notice verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though inwardly we are wasting away, though outwardly, pardon me, we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Many pastors have read that text, and many Christians have read that text, and they've assumed that this eternal hope that Paul has is the eternal hope of being set free from anything that has bones, anything that has flesh, anything that has toenails, earlobes, nostrils, or hair. The popular Christian, quote-unquote, conception is that salvation is disembodiment. Salvation is being disembodied with no association with anything physical, fleshly, or bodily, and simply being a disembodied spirit in the clouds in a state of present consciousness with Jesus. Paul has a hope of something beyond death. He contrasts it as that which is eternal with that pain and that torment and those trials which are temporary. But Paul's ultimate hope is not a hope of disembodiment. Paul's ultimate hope is not the expectation of being without flesh and bone. It's not an ultimate expectation of being without toenails and hair. It's not an ultimate expectation of being free from kidneys and livers, but an expectation of being associated with those things which are no longer temporal, but eternal. Look at what happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, the earthly tent is a metaphor that Paul is using here, a figure of speech for the earthly, temporal, mortal body. It's the body you wake up with every morning, and where it now takes you 30 minutes of talking yourself into sitting up and swinging your legs over the side. It's the body that when you now go out to dinner and sit down for a dinner with friends for an hour and a half, you wish you hadn't passed up the waiter's offer for a drink, because you hurt so much and you're so stiff, you don't know if you can walk out of the restaurant. Oh, you've been there, sweetheart. Yeah. It's the body that now catches everything that goes around. It's the heart that is starting to get more clogged than it should. It's an organ which is not as strong as it used to be. The joints and the muscles are getting a little bit weaker, and you expect that, and you can live with that, but it's the body that you see when you visit the children's hospitals. They haven't had enough time to get old yet, and yet some of those kids are dealing with illnesses that you and I will never have to endure. It's that body. That's the earthly tent. It is the temporal tent that we inherited from our great-granddaddy Adam. That's the body that Paul is talking about. And notice, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, if it is consumed by the dirt the way in which Moses writes and God said in Genesis 3 that it would be destroyed by going back into the dirt, the ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Although we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I want you to see here that the eternal house, the building that he is talking about in verse 1, is not the mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for us. What he is talking about in verse 1 is the fact that now we have an earthly tent. Now we have a temporal, sin-condemned, dying body. We know that. And we know by faith that when that one is destroyed, that God's going to give us another tent. God's going to give us another house. God's going to give us another building. In other words, what Paul is introducing us to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, is this reality. Death for the Christian is not escape from body. It is a disinheriting of this body. But it is not escape from a body. Salvation is not your escape from kidneys and livers. It's not your escape from toenails and hair. It's not your escape from skin and bones, blood vessels and meat. That's not salvation. There is a temporary period in which immediately following death, we are snatched up to heaven, disembodied in our spirits into a state of blessed consciousness with Jesus. But that isn't Paul's ultimate hope. Paul doesn't want to be disembodied. Paul wants to be embodied. But not with a body of this earth. Not with a temporal, dying, decaying, hurting body. Meanwhile, we groan as we await this new set of clothes, as we await this new home, we groan for that new home, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. I'm sorry, I forgot we're in Texas. Naked. This is Paul's teaching. When you are a disembodied spirit, when your spirit or your soul, whatever you want to call it, has left the body, and you are now in a blessed state of consciousness with Jesus, Paul wants you to know there's one thing you need to keep in mind. You're naked. And there's a draft. You are in a blessed state of consciousness with Jesus, and you are set free from this temporal, hurting, aching, dying body. But things aren't yet the way they ought to be. because you were never meant to be disembodied. And so Paul says, while we are disembodied, and while we are disembodied now because we have an earthly body, but we don't have our eternal body, both now and even in this present state of consciousness with Jesus, where we do not yet have our new bodies, we are in a state of incompletion. Because the great hope of the Christian is to be re-embodied in a body which is not made of this earth, but a body which is made in heaven. A body which knows not corruption. A body which is not corruptible, but incorruptible. A body which knows not mortality. A body which is not mortal, but immortal. A body which knows no shame. A body which is not shameful, but glorious. You see, that's what Paul is ultimately hoping for. And so, is it better to be with Jesus disembodied than it is to be associated with this temporal, dying, cursed body? Yes. Hands down, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, it is far better. It's just not perfect. It's far better. It's just not the ultimate. It's far, far better. It's just not what God will have for us ultimately. For while we are in this tent, we groan. Can I get an amen on that? Can I put it this way? We groan. We ache, we hurt, we weep, we cry, we curse. Because we are in this tent. And are burdened. Because we don't wish to be unclothed. You see, Paul doesn't want to be without a body. He just wants to be without this body. He doesn't want to be unclothed. You see, for Paul to have the ultimate hope that salvation was going disembodied into the skies to be with Jesus, and that that was the ultimate for which Christians were hoping, would be like someone walking out of a nudist colony in upstate New York into downtown Manhattan during rush hour. You feel a little bit conspicuous. Well, maybe not in Manhattan. You're not supposed to be naked in Manhattan during rush hour. You're supposed to have a suit of clothes on. And so Paul tells us that he recognizes that we are groaning in this tent, but we do not wish to be unclothed. We don't want to be disembodied. Instead, notice what he says. We wish to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This is what Christians believe. This is what Christians hope for ultimately. The state of disembodied existence immediately upon death with Christ is a blessed state, which is far better than being associated with this mortal body. But it's only a temporary holding pattern. It's a temporary holding pattern until you land. And where you land is into a new body. A body not made from this earth, but a body given to you from the God of heaven, which is no longer mortal but immortal, no longer corruptible but incorruptible, no longer shameful but glorious. And so the truth that Paul is passing on to us this morning is this: we groan now because we're clothed in a mortal body. And we will groan while we're unclothed because we don't yet have our new body. The only time that our groaning ceases entirely is on the day of resurrection, when the Lord Jesus appears in the sky with his angels and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise. And when all of those who are asleep in their graves will burst forth from the dust, no longer shameful in their bodies but glorious, no longer mortal but immortal, no longer corruptible but incorruptible. That is what Christians believe. So please tell me that the next time that you share the gospel, the next time that you share the good news of Christianity and what it means to be saved, that you will assure people that immediately upon death they will be separated from this earthly temporal tent in which they have groaned all these years, and they will immediately be in a present state of conscious blessedness with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far, far better than being in this temporal dying body. But promise me that you won't stop there, but that you'll go on to give them the good news that Christianity offers something more. And that is the eventual resurrection of the body on the day of Christ's return, in which their immaterial part, their spirit or their soul, will be reunited with a body, but a body which has been transformed from mortal into immortal, a body which has been transformed from corruptible to incorruptible, a body which has been transformed from shameful into glorious. That is the hope of Christianity. And that is our gospel. And that is what happens to you when you die. And that is the ultimate hope of the believer. Tell the world the good news that is distinctively ours. And take comfort and joy in it yourselves. And so, Father, because you are merciful and kind, we rejoice that you, through Christ and by the Spirit, will resurrect us from the dead. Thank you that we can rest in the assurance that upon that fateful day, which lurks for all of us unless your Son returns before, that one day we will close our eyes and we will immediately be in a state of conscious blessedness in the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you that that is far better than anything we could imagine. But thank you, too, that you will save and redeem that which you originally created, our bodies, and that you will once again reunite us with that which you believe is worth saving. Our hair and our toenails, our kidneys and our livers, our skin and our bones. For you are their creator, and everything you make is very good and worthy of being saved. And so for that ultimate hope, we give you thanks. In the name of Christ and by the Spirit. Amen.